We are back here on the morning shift in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. The Falcons coming off another win over an NFC South opponent. This, by the way, their third victory in a row.
Ding.
Against the Panthers, 38-20.
Is that good?
I'd say so.
Is that good? Three wins in a row, 3-0 in the division, 4-2 overall.
First place Falcons, is that what you meant to say? Falcons?
Is that good?
I don't know. Did we break it? High score? Did we break it? How about this? And it kind of pops up yesterday on the socials. How about back-to-back weeks with 30 points? Back-to-back weeks with 30 points.
What's going
on here, man?
Yeah, but Mike, it wasn't a wire-to-wire victory, whatever that means. So there's nothing to celebrate.
Don't you come at me with that, man. It's a big win.
There's so much ignorance when I look at times. I get so frustrated because I believe in enjoying the moments. And yesterday was a moment. The last 3 weeks have been a moment. And if you're getting caught up in some long-term picture or how it looks, first off, it's the NFL. It's not college football. No such thing as style points. Nobody gives a damn. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is if you won. But it was the first win you've had all year where you won going away. You took complete control of the game at one point and never looked back, even though that they clawed to stay close. You led pretty much from the moment you made it 13-10 before the 2-point conversion. You never relinquished the lead.
No.
It never even got close to it. And that is what you're supposed to do with what is considered a lesser team than you.
Yeah. I think that yesterday, too, kind of highlighted the fact that there's such a need for two backs when you talk about Bijan and Tyler Algier, and they did go over the 200-yard mark. And what stinks about that is when you look at Kirk Cousins, him kneeling on the ball, you lose the 5 yards at the end, so you don't get the 200-yard mark rushing in the record books. And as you know, our coach would say, stats are for losers when you look at the 200-yard mark. But you look at Chuba Hubbard, he's having success, right? They're running the ball. But you can't just run Chuba 11 times in a drive, right? Eventually, you have to do something with Andy Dalton. And when they did, our defense pounced on it, and shout out to A.J. Terrell for getting his hands on the ball for the first time in a very, very long time and making sure that thing turned back the other direction, and then the two-headed monster in the backfield for us continues to take over. They did have success on the ground, but like I said, with one back, and you're not running, I think Miles Sanders, one carry from every 3 yards? You're just not doing much with just one guy running the pill for
1 yard. In fact, if you take away this what should have been Lorenzo Carter's sack, which we'll get to that later in the week about the pass rush issues that continue. But when you take away that, they have under 100 yards rushing. That was an 18-yard carry by Andy Dalton scramble. It also led to the scoring drive into the end of the first half, but it's what put them over the 100-yard mark.
Yeah.
You made some improvements in some areas and you also took the ball away a couple of times, and you forced two more fumbles, Tiff.
And you know Kirk Cousins likes all of that. He talked to Dave Archer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network in their postgame interview, which is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Interesting performance today in that got the ground game cranked up. I mean, that's got to feel good about you guys can throw it and run it.
I think so, Arch. I think Tyler Algier ran really well. Bijan ran really well. I thought our receivers blocked well. I thought it was a good mix of runs, getting the outside zone game going, inside zone game going. Threw when we had to, avoided sacks. Had the one turnover that could have been avoided, but other than that, protected the football. Had a couple tight throws, but all in all, it was a good day at the office. Great to win, and we played complimentary football, and got to keep building on it.
What's this do from a dividend standpoint as you look forward with the ground game and the physicality? I know it lights up the offensive line to be able to come off the ball and shorten people's necks.
Yeah, I just think on the road and in the playoffs and in those tough environments, to be able to run the football and kind of impose your will, it makes a big difference. And credit Zach for kind of sticking to the run game, being patient with it. I just felt like it was a great answer today, and we were able to kind of ride it to success.
How much did they switch it up on you? It looked like there was a lot of blitz looks off the edge. I looked a little bit of tape, but not as much as you did. Yeah. Did they stay pretty consistent?
Yeah, I think they they gave us a couple tough looks. They were going to mix in a pressure here and there. They did a good job disguising coverages for the most part. And, they kind of kept a good roof on everything. We tried to get behind them. They weren't really letting us. And, you know, kind of credit them for the lack of explosives.
I love the way you continue to probe them, and then that little three-man look, three-by-one look, where you got two guys getting down the field, and then Drake finds that hole for you.
Yeah, he twice was able to kind of throttle in a soft spot and find a big completion, a good gain for us. I thought Ray Ray's third down conversion across the middle was a big catch, big play by him. He continues to show up for us in a big way to kind of keep us pretty versatile. And I thought AJ's interception, you know, was as key a play in the game as there was. And I think the ability for our offense to, from that interception, to play complimentary football and go down and get seven was a major turning point in the game.
Yeah, I want to finish up with the final drive. You go 12 plays, 84 yards. I think you threw it twice. You ran it seven or nine times in the drive. It just was that man's kind of drive. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, at that point, we had run the football successfully throughout the game. Felt like we could continue to do it. And then I think Tyler Allgeier just really stepped up. Our offensive line stepped up. You know, threw it a couple times, but for the most part, we leaned on the run game, especially in the second half, and, you know, they delivered.
Arch, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
He said lack of explosives. I mean, I saw Kyle Pitts with an explosive play. I saw Drake London with an explosive catch. I saw Tyler Allgeier with an explosive run, and that's 20-plus.
The thing is, you've set such a high benchmark for what explosives you've been able to do. And you and I talked about it last week. I mentioned this on Friday. I mentioned it in the pregame. One in every four plays you've run have gone for 10 or more yards.
Yeah. Well,
so you've set a high mark for that in terms of this team.
I guess it is what you qualify an explosive play. I'm 20 yards or more to me is an explosive. I think some people do see the 10-yard or more, and they think that has its own category for them. But if Kyle Pitts 70 yards plus for the second time in a row, this season, or second game in a row, and I think it's the first time he's done it since 2021, he's playing with a physical – he's playing much more physical at the point of attack with blocking and in the run game. I'm happy with that. And he is getting – he only had three catches, but for 70 yards I don't need Kyle Pitts to have eight catches for 120 yards every week. I don't. I need this, where he is good in run blocking and pass blocking when asked, and then runs the routes and runs good routes, and he gets there and he finds a soft spot in with they're playing the zone or something, catches the ball, turns it upfield, and turns a 30-yard gain into a 50-yard gain. That's what I need from Kyle Pitts. That's what he did yesterday.
Three catches is good enough for you, for Kyle Pitts? It is for me. Remember, we said this on Fair Foul on Friday. I was like, it's three catches. Like three catches per week, is that kind of the floor, if you will, for Kyle Pitts?
If I get three catches for 12 yards, I'm not, and there's no touchdowns in there, I'm going, you know, could have used a little bit more for him. But when I get three for 70, and he's the second leading receiver as far as yardage goes, yeah, I'm pretty good with it.
But didn't you just talk about him impacting the games in other ways too, or at least improving in that regard? So,
and that's part of it, Tiff. And we got to the point 3 weeks ago where I was told by fans, but hold on, but it's important because
no, it's just the way you said it.
They have a say. Well, you're using him all wrong, and I said, well, how do you use him? Well, you know. You can't line him up on a cornerback. I go, okay, ding. You can't ask him to block, ding. Can't ask him to chip, ding, which is kind of blocking. I don't like him in the slot. And you only need to line him up on linebackers and safeties. And I thought to myself, I go, well, self, he really is a unicorn because you can only do one freaking thing with him. Put his hand in the dirt and only let him run a route if there's a safety or linebacker. Apparently,
I'll simplify more than that. You have to hit him on the run.
Apparently that Zach Robinson needed to go to the middle of the field in pregame and tell the DC, hey, can you only put linebackers and safeties over on Kyle? Which is because that's apparently the only way our fan base thought he could win, which was dumb in its own right. He could. I just think that guys go, you know, they have bad weeks, and he has really turned it. He's been more physical. Whether that's leadership by Kirk or maybe Zach Robinson or whatever, I don't know. But the Kyle Pitts we've seen the last 2 weeks is the one that you'll win with in this offense.
Well, when we come back here on the morning shift, guys, there's a big win in Dallas, not for the Cowboys. Mm. I don't know if you have any friends that live in Dallas. You may want to check on them. Detroit went in there and handled business, but it comes at a cost. We will get you the latest NFL headlines when we come back here and go in the huddle on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, let's get you the latest NFL headlines as we go around the league. Well, the Detroit Lions went into Dallas, or Arlington, I should say, so don't get mad at me out there, and they crushed the Cowboys 47-9. We'll get you more on that loss, but it comes at a loss for the Lions, unfortunately. And their Pro Bowl edge rusher, Aiden Hutchinson, there we go, had a gruesome lower leg injury in that game. He was stretchered off. He was immediately ruled out for the remainder of it. And now the news on the heels of it is that he has a fracture of his tibia, and that required immediate surgery in Dallas.
Yeah, terrifying stuff. I didn't see the initial play. When I kind of looked up and he was on the screen, I saw him kind of taking his gloves off, and I was like, well, that's how you know it's not good, when somebody's laying on the ground taking their gloves off. And obviously, upon further review, about as gruesome as it gets in terms of leg injuries, but a lot of questions about everything going on. The fact that he goes straight into surgery, to your point, Tiff, is very concerning, but hopefully he was in good hands. I'm sure he was. And, man, Bo mentioned this earlier. He's got both teams kind of patting him on the back as he goes off the field. I think that's a huge sign of respect for the kind of player he is.
Well, you could see a mouth on the ground, and unfortunately, in the close-up shot, it's broke.
Yeah.
So he, and most people who have those kind of injuries know just right away, but what a significant loss for the Lions.
Yeah, friendly fire, too. Like his own player got kind of blocked into him as he was making the tackle on Dak. I hate it. He's been so dominant this year. That's a good player, high motor. Seems like a good guy from all purposes. Everything I can, you see and hear about him. I do think it's like always a telltale sign of the type of player you are, when you have guys on the other defense coming out on the field and giving you some love when you're injured like that. I hate it, but look. It might have been a little bit of a cloud over the win yesterday, but Detroit took care of business.
They did, and it was Cowboys owner Jerry Jones's 82nd birthday, and not the way he wanted to celebrate. It was their worst loss in a game since he bought the team in 1989.
Yeah,
so losing 47-9.
Imagine being foolish enough to pick Dallas to win that game. I mean, imagine
so
being that
and
ignorant.
I was hardcore. And Man Up Monday will be coming up in just 30 minutes. You'll be able to hear that cut from Friday.
So I might quit picking games if I had picked Dallas to cover the 3 and they lost by
it was a rough one.
Mike, by 38.
Mike, I just want to say I have something very special for you when it comes to that picking
on,
particular.
It's bad enough. It's
nah,
bad enough. I don't
got something
you
for you, bro.
Dirt on top of me like that.
I got something for you, bro.
Buried alive.
All right. It was bad.
Well, at least the frustration for you guys hasn't boiled over like it has in Jacksonville, because after their 20-17 loss to the Colts, Calvin Ridley pretty much made it clear that he has reached a breaking point.
Yeah. I had targets in what part of the game I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So, need some in the beginning of the game, too, then. Like, getting crazy for me. So, I'm just, it is what it is. But I suck today. I got to be better. But I got to get the ball a little early in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so I can play well also.
Calvin, of course, plays for Tennessee. So right. He's been around a few teams now. So.
It's got to be frustrating right now. And by the way, nobody in Jacksonville is faring any better right now. But the quarterback play has just been bad for Calvin Ridley. I can't imagine anybody being dumb enough to start him in fantasy yesterday, Bo, in which we both did, dude. He's absolutely brutal right now. He's had some games where he looks dominant, other games where he is just non-existent right now. And so, as far as Tennessee goes, man, there's a lot of struggles right now offensively, and you can hear it coming out in Calvin Ridley like there. It just looks like they're not putting him up to bat at times, and I don't know what all things lead to it, but he's a guy who obviously is making a lot of money for Tennessee right now, and not being featured part of that game plan, you hear that frustration coming out.
You know, I look, it's easy to say that they're not doing enough to get him the ball. But I think we need to know what he – I have not watched a lot of Tennessee. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of busy on Sundays. So I can't tell you what's happening in playing that game. But when a guy only has 9 catches on a new team, when they paid him a lot of freaking money to feature him, it's hard for me to grasp that they're not trying to do things to get him the ball. And it also sounds like to me that if he doesn't get the ball early, he's checking out. He tells you that. He says, I need to get the ball earlier. So you're telling me you're checking out of the mentally if you don't get the ball early in a game? That's what I heard. I got guys trying to tell me how Kyle Pitts quit on routes, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't know if he quit on it or not.
Why don't you talk about Mark Sanchez like that?
Why don't you cut the man bun?
He knows a little bit more than I would say me and you do.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think he knows what the play call was there, or if Kirk was throwing the ball away because of pressure.
How did we get on this? Anyways.
Anyways, let's move on. I think Calvin Ridley should also understand that he's got a young quarterback that maybe do more to build chemistry than a quarterback. Look, Will Levis has not been very good this year. But to kind of act like that in a locker room, I just think I don't know. I never saw that out of Calvin here. I know that he had his issues, but there was never anything to that extent. So
Can we talk about Joe Flacco, though, for the Colts? Coming in, getting the start for Anthony Richardson, who is dealing with the injury. But, again, Joe Flacco just keeps finding ways to step into these situations and then win games.
Yeah.
I'm sure they might miss him, in Cleveland.
He absolutely does. You know? And this was one of those things where a lot of people thought Anthony Richardson would be back for this game, kind of a game-time decision heading into the weekend, and then all of a sudden Flacco finds out he's getting the nod. But just a wily old vet. Just somebody that they're like, hey, man, you're going to get the ball today. And he just goes out and does everything he needs to do. And he just continues to reinvent his game and play his style, man. You love that Indianapolis loses Gardner Minshew as the backup and dealt with all these Anthony Richardson injuries last year. And then they signed Joe Flacco as the backup. Two completely different quarterbacks for what Anthony Richardson is. And yet they come in and continue to be successful. So a lot of credit has to go to that coaching staff and everybody else around that team for being able to get it done in multiple ways.
So Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, wasn't holding back when it came to exchanging some words with fans after their win 20-16 against the Browns. So what do you think or like or dislike about a head coach jawing off with people in the stands?
Well, I don't think the time to jaw with your own fan base is when you beat the worst, one of the two worst teams in football by 4 points at home, when you probably should dominate them with the talent you have, especially with the quarterback seeing ghosts. Now, I don't care the fact that he's jawing with Philly fans, because I could give a rat's ass about Philly fans.
They deserve each other. Nick Sirianni and Philly's fan deserve each other. They're one and the same. They're very much the same people. They're going to run their mouth. Nick Sirianni's always run his mouth. Even Jalen Hurts last year to tell him to calm down.
That's the problem for me. When my quarterback is more mature than the guy that's leading my team, that's a problem.
Look, if Philly fans are going to jaw and they want their head coach to be on the edge and everything else and be passionate, that's what they're going to get right back. And I don't think it was a great look for Sirianni, but I don't know if I have a massive problem with it, man. He turned around and he told him how he felt about it, and they got a win yesterday.
Over in London, Caleb Williams and the Bears did a number on the Jags, 35-16, but Williams thrown for 4 touchdown passes.
He looked really good. I watched that game in the hotel as I was getting ready. He looked really good. His pocket presence, Mike. He was sticking in there, going through all his progressions. And if that was not there, then he would move.
The ability to extend plays with his legs.
Yeah, and he's always had it, Tiff. It's been one of those things at college that off schedule play was his own schedule play.
Right.
That's what he did.
He was scheduled to be off schedule, is what he's trying to say.
But he is
doing
progressing.
It in the NFL, yeah.
But to that point, he's sticking with these plays in the pocket until it is, there is nothing else there, and then he's making plays with his legs.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. I asked Tiff, I asked these guys on Friday, is there a chance that Caleb Williams can catch Jaden Daniels in the Rookie of the Year running? I'm a massive believer that he eventually will. I think that Caleb Williams is growing, and I think he's got more weapons around him probably to be better down the long stretch. I know that Washington in a lot of ways has been the toast of the NFL through these first few weeks. They're also a great team and took a rough loss yesterday, but that's a team to me in Chicago that really the sky is the limit in terms of the weapons they have out wide, and they'll continue to do good things with Caleb Williams at the helm.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mic'd Up?
Well, we're going to talk about the other game in the NFC South, the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and what that means for that showdown with Tampa in a couple of weeks. And also, if you haven't voted, go to my Twitter at MPJohnson79. There's a poll on there. It says, which fan base is more nervous about their big matchup this weekend? Is it Georgia facing off with Texas, or is it Alabama headed up to Knoxville to face off with Tennessee? Both those fan bases calls for concern. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Mic'd Up, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on the morning shift, we do have a Mic'd Up to get to. But first, if you were able to watch the earlier games of NFL action yesterday, then you likely caught the Saints and Bucks game. And in this one, it's like every time I would walk away or every time I sat back down, there's an interception, there's a touchdown, there's a kick return. At one point, I had to stay seated, and I kept thinking, man, all this has happened. I wonder how much time's left, thinking I was in a time warp. Like, that had to be, this is stuff that happens near the end of a game, but it wasn't even halftime. There was like 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
Yeah, I don't know how much, Bo, you got to see of this game as well, but I thought Spencer Rattler played well. Thought he played hard. You know, obviously made some mistakes, but, you know, this is a guy who probably 3 weeks ago is your fourth option at quarterback. And, you know, Taysom Hill is out. And then obviously Derek Carr as well. And then they decided to go with him because he's more mobile behind a banged up offensive line. So it was an entertaining game, Tiff. I can tell you that much. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It was 51-27 is what the Bucs ended up winning that one by. So
yeah. I think the over-under was like 41. And I was like, yeah,
maybe, not sure what you guys
maybe the under's the play. Maybe the under's the play. And I was like, no, I'm staying away from it. I didn't like much this weekend in terms of that. And then obviously they bust through the ceiling of that. Anybody that watched the game, 27 points scored by the Saints in the second quarter. And then otherwise nothing. So it was kind of a craziness. And then obviously Tampa Bay kind of putting their foot down. It's going to be a big matchup here in a couple weeks with Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Yeah, the Saints are going the wrong way. So I'm disappointed in New Orleans and their tackling. Their defense looked like garbage yesterday. Alante Taylor looked like he thought he was tackling me when he tried to put Chris Godwin on the ground. So great effort. Thanks a lot, New Orleans. We needed something from you, and you, as usual, are garbage. That's all I got.
Okay.
Thanks for that. Let's hit it Mic'd Up. You already know what time it is. First of all, reminder to everybody, if you didn't hear it on the commercials, I'll be at Dudley's in Lithonia this weekend from 5 to 7. Be hooking that up. Come by and see me, Dos Equis, and everybody else put on a big party. I'll be watching Bama, Tennessee, the pregame for Georgia, Texas. And that kind of leads me to my Mic'd Up today when you look at the situation surrounding both Georgia and Alabama. Now, it's interesting this weekend, and obviously hear a lot from the Georgia fans here in Atlanta, but obviously still very, following the pulse of what Alabama fans are. And you guys, if I go to social media, if I go to the Reddit pages, if I go to any of the fan blogs, they all say the same thing on Georgia's page and Alabama's page. And it pretty much says, we're going to get our butt kicked next weekend. Now, Alabama's facing off with Tennessee, number 11 ranked Tennessee, although, Bo, I didn't think Tennessee looked great this past weekend. Georgia obviously heading on the road to Austin, Texas to take on the number one team in all the land in Texas. Both of those teams really struggling seemingly defensively right now against some pretty good passing attacks from both those teams.
I would say the biggest concern then would be for Georgia fans this weekend. Tennessee, I feel like right now, it's not who they were, to start the season. So I don't know if you know what you're necessarily going to get out of them.
Yeah.
But the way Bama's been playing, I understand why there is concern. But I think, I don't know, I would say my biggest concern is if you're going against the number one team in Atlanta that has not even looked bad, even with their backup quarterback, who was really talented, and Arch Manning. But now you have Quinn Ewers back. My concern would be for Dogs fans.
Yeah.
I'm not very impressed with Tennessee the last 2 weeks. They look like when you bring when Florida brings physicality to you and you don't respond, that's a problem for me. Because Florida has been a very unphysical team. They have been dominated up front until the last 2 weeks, honestly. And I thought they looked good against Tennessee. I was actually impressed with the progression. And I think Alabama's do one where they just come out and, run right through you. Now, the Georgia one, Georgia is a team that has struggled with identity, and it's It's funny because Georgia does not have the guys up front right now, to me, to beat Texas. I think Texas is better than Georgia on both sides of the trenches.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge problem for a Georgia team.
Wow. I don't know when's the last time we said that about Georgia facing off with anybody.
I mean, well, and look, I know that it's easy for me to say, and I'm like, oh, you just don't like Georgia. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't think there's a lot of Georgia fans that disagree with you right now.
Tell me I'm wrong.
If you were to say that about Bama right now, I don't know that a lot of Bama fans would disagree with you.
Well, I think I've said this. I think Texas is the best team.
Yeah.
I've wavered a little bit early in the season, but right now there's nothing about what I've seen from Texas that tells me they're not the best team in the country. They look physical. They impose their will. They can obviously win without their starting quarterback for a couple of games. I just don't know. I don't know what other team. I don't, you can't say that about Alabama right now. You can't say now they haven't played the schedule Alabama has or Georgia that
Bama
matter.
Bama would be dealing with a nightmare without their starting quarterback now. I will update. I told you guys a minute ago I had a poll out on Twitter. Right now, Georgia fans are winning that poll at 53% about being more concerned fan base heading this weekend. Like I said, 53% Georgia fans say they're concerned against Texas. 47% Bama fans saying that they're concerned for the matchup with Tennessee. Here's the way I see it. Both these teams are incomplete teams. Both these teams not as good as they probably have been the last few years. And obviously the coaching change in Tuscaloosa, a different dynamic it feels like in Athens right now for that team moving forward. You also have the fact hanging over their head that Nico Iamaliava is part of the Tennessee program, and he's leading that group right now. And also Texas is part of the SEC, and Georgia has that to kind of weigh on their minds in terms of their willingness to get back to the SEC championship game.
And in Nashville, I had a friend that's in the business as well, and they had tweeted out a question, is Vanderbilt the best team in Nashville?
Yeah.
And like in Tennessee, excuse me, right now. And it got a lot of traction because – they're coming off a key win over Kentucky, so
they
I know what that tells you about the state of Tennessee and what they think of their football team.
That would have been an easy game for Vanderbilt to just kind of lay back and ride the waves of what happened a week ago, and yet I thought they dealt with business in a big way. Mark Stoops kind of taking shots at the Kentucky fan base afterwards. He's like, Vanderbilt goes in and, you know, NIL money buys them a whole new offense. Man, when we get that much NIL money at Kentucky, we'll be really doing some things,
too. This isn't the first time he's done this.
No. I mean, he tried to leave this offseason. He was going to head to Texas A&M, and that kind of got rebutted all the way around. So it is interesting, man. I'll be watching both those games. Like I said, at Dudley's coming up this weekend, Lithonia, the way Dylan's been telling me to kind of say
Lithonia,
that.
Lithonia, yes.
I haven't spent much time down there, but excited to get on the road and see some people this weekend. It's going to be a couple of good matchups, and I know that both those fan bases – not feeling terribly confident, man. So I'll be kind of weighing the pulse of that as we head towards this weekend. Huge weekend in college football.
Another weekend for some L's for you guys. Like when you go into the next week,
yeah,
you kind of get where I'm going. Like L, like you guys are bad at picks.
Are you saying that?
I mean, I think I went 500, so maybe just aim that.
You might have been better than you might have been 500.
No, I was 500.
I went 1-3.
I picked
bad.
I missed the over in the LSU game. And it wasn't by a lot.
Yeah. It was a rough stretch, Tiff. So, yeah, good job calling us out on that. And I'm not looking forward to that coming up in 10 or so minutes because it's going to be rough.
It is. It's going to be really rough because the Man Up segment is just ahead here on the morning shift. So these guys gave you some bad picks over the weekend. My apologies to you.
There's no these. There's just Mike. Okay, I was even.
I look at you, and sometimes I just think.
Don't
like,
let
I
me
think
in
of,
with him.
I think of the L. I think of losing, and that's just it's just an initial response, kind of like a reaction that I have.
Starting to feel personal. So. You look at me and say these guys when the loser is across from you.
We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.